You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Friday's action on this edition. It's Alex Dunn and Craig Forsyth, who will be doing the tipping. Well, Craig will. I'm here to just steer the ship. Craig, how are you?
Yeah, very good. Very good indeed, Alex. A few weeks away now from the big one, but, you know, we've still got some very, very good racing to come over the weekend. And the Ida Chase, you know, it's going to be a different Ida Chase this weekend with a lot of different ground conditions to previous years.
I was going to say, if you go back, I don't know how many years it would be now, but when Howard Johnson won it.
Yeah, two finishers.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the horse called?
It was blue and red colours.
Yeah, it wrecked up a real sequence, didn't it? Well, in fact, it's a great start to the podcast, this, that we straight away we didn't know what we were talking about. How many years ago was that as well? Let's have a look. What have we got? 2011 it was, Compañero.
Yeah.
And that really had racked up a sequence as well. In fact, we're just looking back through recent winners there. Some real stout stayers in that lineup, the likes of Portrait King, etc. That Compañero race, Giles Cross second, Morgan B was third, but a distance third, and everything else pulled up off hell.
Comply or Die pulled up in the race.
Yeah.
A horse that stayed forever and a day and won a Grand National.
Yeah, that is... Well, anyway, that's the reminiscing over. That's just about all we've got time for on this podcast. But no, we've got plenty still to go at, as Craig mentioned. The Ida coming up on Saturday. There's a really good card at Kempton as well on Saturday. That'll be discussed in tomorrow's podcast. Right now, though, we have got to look ahead to the action on Friday. Before we do, actually, Craig, I want to talk about Larina, because I think it was touched on in yesterday's podcast, but she was so impressive. I was trying to take her on yesterday. I thought she was too short given the quality of opposition against her. But the amount of ground that she made up between half a mile out and 2.5 furlongs out was pretty devastating. And she did it as well without really expending, visually anyway, any effort at all. She's good.
Yeah, visually she looked... You know, it looked a good performance.
Yeah.
When you start analysing it through the clock, the overall time wasn't anything special compared, you know, if you look at a furlong for furlong against the maiden hurdle over the same distance, it was nearly 2.5 seconds quicker. Mm-hmm. But, you know, compared to the 3 mile per temps race, and that could be a race to look back at for festival clues, given that one stacks up really well furlong for furlong on the times. Larina still has a fair bit of improvement to find with me. Obviously, she will get the men's allowance if she does go champion hurdle route. But right now, I think she's a long way behind Apples Jade. You know, these two will race off the same weight. But in terms of what Apples Jade has produced, mm-hmm, compared to Larina, I think personally, Larina is a long way behind her.
Yeah, I think I'd agree, but I think beforehand I was dead against Larina for the champion hurdle. Now I think she's possibly worthy of taking a chance, at least. And that's no disrespect to her. That's rather than going to the mayor's hurdle and presumably dotting up.
Yeah, I mean, I can see why you think that, Alex, for sure. But, you know, it was a mayor's listed hurdle yesterday, and it's a big step. You know, Apples Jade has proved that in a different grade, if you like. I think, you know, if you look at the prices, Apples Jade 2-1 and Larina 7-2. Mm. You know, and if it was between those two horses and you priced them accordingly in a match, obviously Apples Jade would be odds on in the match to beat Larina.
Yeah.
I would still want to be with Apples Jade.
Yeah. Boober there's still the favourite, though, at 15-8, and he seems to have been forgotten about because everyone's talking about who may or may not be turning up. He definitely will be.
Yeah, indeed. Obviously, you know, we've got 3 mares in the first 5 in the betting.
Yeah, but Diana Blue 14s as well. Yeah. And of course, she beat Bouvardaire over Christmas, so...
It would be fantastic to see these 3 mares, you know, come to the champion hurdle, or go through the champion hurdle, rather than take the easier option of the mayor's race, and I would certainly add to it for sure.
Mm.
And obviously the allowances, you know, that they get is key to their chances as well. So it's shaping up to be a very, very interesting champion hurdle with hopefully the inclusion of a trio of mares.
I'm looking forward to this Cheltenham Festival more than I have for years, because it's the majority of races anyway just seems so wide open. Altior aside, and people will say Paisley Park is a banker, but he's yet to win at the festival.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, and until you've experienced that sort of race on a big day, because it can get the horses sometimes, you don't know what they're going to do when something happens for the first time. Altior aside, I couldn't confidently say absolute banker.
And yeah. Well,
is Altior a banker? Probably.
No, again, that's a very fair statement. I mean, I'm looking back. I think I had at least a couple in the book,
mm-hmm.
12 months ago,
mm-hmm.
For the festival. This year, I've got none.
No.
I'll keep missing the boat with Al Dancer. I keep talking him up. Keep chanting and deciding to go. And, you know, he shortens every time and runs well. Do you think Al Dancer produced a supreme winning performance in the Betfair Hurdle, the rearranged Betfair Hurdle at Ascot? Probably not. Even though the figure he posted takes him to the top of the novice tree.
Mm-hmm.
So he deserves his place in the market.
And he was on the inside of the track throughout, which won't have been a bonus.
Certainly.
But,
you know...
No, I know what you mean. Normally at this stage, we're thinking, right, do we go with just the four or the fivefold of Willie Mullins horses?
The life changer.
Yes.
The life changer.
And this time, you're thinking, well, actually, I've got a live 16-1 poke for this race.
Or, yeah.
You know, it's a lovely way of going into it, and I can't wait now. But
and we haven't even started looking or seen entries for handicaps yet.
No, exactly. Because so you mentioned the potential races. And I was looking at it thinking, Cap York beating Mormon and it's all guesswork. But it is all guesswork right now, because you cannot confidently say, I really like the look of that one, until they're reassessed and then they get the new handicap mark. And
that will be a race I will play back many times.
Yes.
Because I do think there's a strong possibility. We may have seen the Per Temps winner in that yesterday, Alex.
Okay. We shall see. Right, let's dive into Friday's action. We're going to focus on racing at Catterick and Exeter. We'll start at Catterick. We'll go in time order. The 3:35 is the first race that we're going to look at, Craig.
Yeah, and the old Catterick standing dish for a race like this is Stradnahana, representing an informed Sue Smith and Danny Cook here. You know, we know how he goes about his business. He's a horse that likes to be ridden aggressively from the front. He jumps well, and Catterick suits his style down to the ground, Alex. But there is a horse in here that will push him in the early stages, and I think that could count against his chances here. And that horse is Little Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
He finished second to the stable companion Sharp Response in the North Yorkshire National last time. He produced a good performance. If these two just start racing and taking each other on a long way from home, they could set the race up for something coming from off the pace. And that something coming from off the pace could well be a lovely job for the first time visor. Fergal O'Brien trains, Brian Hughes has been booked to ride. This was a horse I was very keen on in the amateur riders handicap at Cheltenham back in November. He was disappointing on that occasion. He can make the odd mistake. But, you know, you look back through the majority of his form, and his mark stacks up really well. He is a well-treated individual, and he could get this race run to suit. A small field as well, you know, could certainly play to his strengths. His last two wins have come in five-runner events at Hexham and Taunton. Only six declared for Catterick on Friday. So, obviously, you know, the small field looks like it could well suit, as does the way the race is likely to develop, with Stradnahana and Little Bruce hopefully going a very fast early gallop.
Okay, so lovely job the pick for Craig in that Catterick race, and of course ties in very nicely with what we were discussing earlier, because the Roonies have said that they're going to have runners at Cheltenham now. That's sort of the news from this morning, which is good, because they've got a lot of horses. They've got horses with numerous yards, and you'd imagine they're going to be pretty competitive at the festival. Again, there's no standout for them at the minute, but at the same time, they've got a lot of really nice prospects, and for the handicaps, as we were mentioning, chances are they're going to have a few runners now.
Yeah, I was waiting on one of theirs for a nice little bet on the last day, last year. Sadly, he's no longer with us, Melrose Boy.
Mm.
But, you know, they have, as you say, a lot of horses that our own competitive marks for our handicaps. No standout graded performer, but great that they've decided to have runners at Cheltenham, you know, and I think that puts anybody's fears that the track is unsafe, etc., etc., you know, well to bed now. And, you know, hopefully they have some success as well with the horses that they do send to the festival.
Absolutely. Right, we're going to focus on one race at Exeter now. This is, it's the Devon National, isn't it, coming up at 4:20. A race won last year by none other than Dawson City and Andrew Thornton.
Well, I'm devastated. This isn't the Andrew Thornton Devon National.
No, you know? not just yet.
Not just yet. Well, maybe after Healthy Pets as the race sponsor this year.
It's a shame he's not in, actually. I was just looking behind. We've got Leona and Sean Quinn on TV duty today. It'd be lovely to get Andrew just popping in, but not the case, unfortunately. Dawson City's back to defend his crown here. Tom Bellamy is aboard here. Who's probably about half the age of Andrew Thornton. What wins, though? It's a typically competitive renewal, isn't it?
I think I'm still half the age of Andrew Thornton. Yeah, Dawson City's £4 higher than when successful last year. It was a great ride by Andrew on that occasion. You know, he comes here with a big chance again. But there's a horse in here, Alex, that has been on my radar for some time. He's looked a horse that has been... Certainly, there's been some sort of target with him this year, and that is Jonjo O'Neill's Copa Lobo. Yard looked badly out of form. They had the first winner for, I think, 40-odd runners by winning the bumper at Wetherby earlier in the week, so that was a positive. But this was a horse that chased home Kilbrick and Storm at Force Last. That was a race to a certain extent and heavy ground that fell apart. That was his first start of the season, his first start over fences. There was a lot to like about it because he looked the thoroughest there. And then at Wincanton, this was a race for me running a real quick time. It's a race that hasn't worked out anywhere near as well as I thought it would. The first horse of interest for me was the Paul Nicholls horse.
Captain Books.
Captain Books, who ran on Boxing Day. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was a race to follow. And the only one that has come from that race is Some Chaos.
Yeah,
who won
second.
Back at Wincanton. Mm-hmm. Second, but Kobo Lobo was the main horse for me to take from that race.
Okay.
I thought he was being lined up for maybe one of the spring festivals, but obviously he has looked the thoroughest there.
Yeah.
And the demands and the emphasis on stamina on a stiff track like Exeter, the ground won't be too testing, so it won't be as bad as previous years. I think we're forecast a good to soft ground. So a lot of positives, and I'm hoping tomorrow, Friday, is the day. Where Kobo Lobo can show himself to be a very well handicapped individual.
Kobo Lobo, the pick then at Exeter. At Catterick, it was lovely job. And hopefully it will be a lovely job. If you follow Craig's selections in on Friday, good luck, listeners, with whatever it is that you're betting on Friday. Make sure you tune into William Hill Racing Radio as well. Darren Owen in the presenter's chair with Ross Briley and Kevin O'Malley on another busy day of racing. Thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.